Chapter 14. Karandiru, DV plus 2 hours. The commandant's compound was not without serious defenses. A flurry of ground-fired missiles greeted Korax a few kilometers out. He saw them coming and destroyed most with bursts of long-range bolter fire as he closed on his objective. The last came at him from below and detonated on proximity, sending shrapnel into the Primarch's armor, but causing no serious harm. From the obscuring cloud above the expanse of armored towers and turret-protected bulwark, 2 interceptors descended to meet the incoming Primarch. Korax could not match the jets for sheer speed or firepower, and his armor wailed a cacophony of warnings as missile locks and targeting arrays latched onto his presence. The flare of missile launches forced the Primarch to descend, watching the contrails of 2 incoming projectiles. He had only a few seconds to react, plummeting as fast as he could towards ground level, where the augurs of the fighters might loose him against the backwash of signal from the surface. The missiles jinked with him, steering with long vanes, but though he could not outpace them, Korax was not without his own advantages. He almost stopped in mid-air with a thrust from his flight pack, dipping a shoulder to drop like a stone, swiftly enough that the first missile passed over him without detonating. He could only spare a glance as it raced on, faster than the speed of sound. The other missile was still heading in his direction. He tried ascending, boosting himself up under gravity pressures that would have broken even a space marine, but it was too late. The missile detonated about 10 meters to Korax's left, showering high explosive and shards over the Primarch. The worst pattered off his armor, but the complex metal primaries of his flight pack suffered damage, causing him to shed slender, shining feather blades in his wake. The interceptors were closing still as more anti-air fire from the ground sprang up from defense turrets, lancing around the Primarch with blasts of deadly las and explosive shells. Even if he could land in the teeth of the turret's fire, he would be an easy target for the ordnance of the jet fighters. Korax had to destroy them before he could take the fight to the ground. The Primarch boosted himself towards the oncoming aircraft, accelerating hard, almost breaching the sound barrier himself, his armor vibrating all over as he pushed his battle plate to its limits. Arms back, wings rigid, head set, he powered up to meet the aircraft as 2 more missiles detached and raced towards him. There was nothing to do but weather their bursts, making minute adjustments of position to bank away at the last moment so that the greater part of the blasts erupted against chest and shoulder rather than flight pack. The pilots switched to the rotary cannons within the blunt noses of their planes, slowing to draw jagged lines of tracer fire across the Primarch's path. Armor-piercing rounds slammed into the ceramite and plasteel encasing him, sending shards of broken material shimmering into the air. He could feel wounds along his left arm and leg like pinpricks, stinging but not threatening. The pilot of the closest interceptor tried to pull up, realizing the Primarch's intent, but the plane was not as maneuverable as Korax's flight pack. He thrust a fist in front of him as he slammed through the port wing. Fuel tanks erupted as he burst out above the plane. The pilot's face beneath his goggles was a mask of horror as he looked back at the ascending Primarch while his craft stalled into a terminal spin. The other fighter came past on a raking run, cannons spewing shells, the salvo flying wide of the mark. Killing the power to his pack for a moment, Korax turned sharply, firing the gravitic repulsors again to turn the climb into a dive, streaking after the second aircraft. The pilot had lost sight of his target and was turning hard, brakes flaring along the wings as he tried to bring his craft around to find his prey. Korax judged his swooping pass perfectly, outstretched fingers ripping open the cockpit canopy and tearing through the harness and flight suit. The man simply fell out of the banking interceptor, his screams lost on the wind. With the 2 aircraft destroyed, the ground fire returned with a vengeance, blanketing the sky with airbursts and flashes of laser. Korax jinked and wove his way between them, but the weight of fire was too much to avoid entirely. Fragments ricocheting from armor plate scorched by the zip of energy beams. Korax slowed a fraction to assess the target. The greatest concentration of communication aerials and sensor dishes was on a multi-building structure at the heart of the compound. He steered towards this, deducing it to be the nerve center of the complex. If the Commandant was anywhere, it would be there. Quad cannons boomed out a welcome as he descended, forcing Korax to take a wider route to his target. He landed atop one of the outer defense emplacements, crashing through the ferrocrete roof, crushing men and gun breach alike in the collapsing debris. On the ground, he broke into a run, sprinting across to the next emplacement, even as its heavy cannon moved in his direction on a whining turntable. Two blasts from his melter turned the breach to slag. An explosive bolt slammed the gunner, now missing an arm, out of his seat beside the cannon. Korax sprinted on, heedless of the pistol and rifle fire from other guards pinging from his backpack. The headquarters building consisted of a central tower few stories in height, joined by thick armored walkways to four outlying bunkers. Razor wire and metal stakes proved no obstacle as the Primarch leapt over the intervening barrier with long strides, not even needing the assistance of his flight pack. A segmented gate, like that of an armory garage, started to roll open on the bunker to his left, revealing blocky, armored figures. At first, he thought they were warriors in Terminator armor, but they were bigger still. Dreadnoughts was his second guess, but the trio of warriors that emerged were hulking brutes in plates of armor rather than full war machines. Plasma erupted from the guns of the closet, searing past Korax's face. Turning to face the oncoming warriors, he heard another of the bunkers opening and glanced back to see two more of the gigantic soldiers coming at him from the opposite direction. Rather than be surrounded, he bounded towards the group of three. Secondary guns, bolter systems operated by their own cogitators, he assumed, spat rounds at him while the brutes lifted their arms, bearing whirling blades, crackling fists, and guns of unconventional design. They reminded him of the Chaos Walkers on Iapetus, but these suits bore none of the arcane runework that had marked the bodies of the half-demon machines created by Azor and Delvia. They were clearly battleplate rather than automated machines. He could see muscle moving beneath meshwork, linking segmented ceramite and adamantium plates. Rage-filled eyes glared at him behind smoky grey visors as the traitor creatures broke into lumbering runs to meet his charge. A fork of lightning erupted from the golden tip of one gun, catching Korax's left arm. The energy crawled up the limb, seemingly growing in strength, feeding off the power circuits of the Primarch's armor. His arm became leaden as internal systems shut down. It felt as though heavy weights had suddenly been strapped to his side, causing him to stumble. With some effort, he ran on, left arm hanging uselessly at his side, the combi weapon in his right hand. He fired. The flurry of bolts sparked from the armor of the closest enemy, cracking ceramite, but having little effect on the creature within. The Primarch was still out of effective range with the melter, and he increased his speed, pounding across the dirt-spattered rockcrete. A boom and a whine alerted him to a shot from behind. A moment later, his right leg buckled as a flickering shell slammed into the back of his thigh, punching neatly through armor and into flesh. He toppled, hand outstretched to prevent himself falling face first into the rockcrete, as another boom and crack heralded a second shot. Splinters of flight pack veins sailed over his shoulder from the impact. He looked down at his leg, bemused that any weapon could hit so hard. In the past, his warplate had been proof against missiles, las cannons, autocannons, and even plasma. Unnatural energy wreathed the small hole, glowing with dark fire. Sorcery. He heaved himself up, noting that some sensation was starting to return to his left arm as systems recovered from the shock of the lightning hit. The warrior's weapon was almost recharged, though. Korax could see arcs of energy coiling around the jutting fins that surrounded the main body of the gun. A burst of plasma splashed over his left shoulder, showering molten droplets of metal and ceramite across his helm. Korax heard the crack of the sorcerer's rifle from behind him and gritted his teeth as he expected another piercing blow. But the shell whined past overhead. With a wordless shout, fueled by genuine concern giving rise to a boiling anger, Korax hurled himself at the trio of warriors in front of him. He fired the melter into the chest of the plasma-armed warrior, slamming the traitor to the ground. Before he could finish off his downed adversary, a chain blade skittered across the Primarch's left arm, carving ragged grooves with whirring teeth. Korax flailed, slashing his fingers towards his attacker's face. The blow went wide, and the chain weapon screeched down again, striking sparks from the seal of his outstretched elbow. Korax hooked his gun and smashed a fist down into the fallen traitor. As he pulled his hand free, a thick, oil-like gunge oozed from the wound, but no blood. He did not have time to consider the implications of this, as a third traitor joined the fight, boldly slamming into the Primarch, a clawed power fist grabbing hold of his chest plastron as they skidded a dozen meters across the hard ground. Korax rolled as they slowed amidst a pile of rocky debris, twisting to slam the traitor into the rucked ground. Armor cracked under an impact that would have shattered natural bones and pulverized the internal organs of a mortal man. The augmented traitor glared at him through his visor, demented rage in his eyes. The warrior jabbed a shorthand punch into the side of Korax's helm, slamming his head sideways. Another ringing blow from the other traitor's chain weapon sent shards of cracking ceramite spraying from the Primarch's shoulder guard. The Primarch was surprised that his other attacker had been able to follow him so swiftly. Korax lashed out wildly, throwing back the traitor with the chain blade. Rising to his feet, he stomped on the helm of the power-fist-armed warrior, crushing his head to a pulp of blood and flattened metal. The body twitched twice, and then fell still. The traitor who had been punched in the chest was slowly pushing himself to his feet. Taking a step towards him, shaking his head with amazement, Korax drew up his gun and leveled the melter for a shot. The other warrior fired his lightning gun again, sending black energy coruscating up Korax's chest. He fell backwards, all but paralyzed between neck and waist. His heart hammered in his chest, overloaded with energy, but the systems of his plate were going haywire, sending erratic signals to arms and legs, causing spasms that fought against the Primarch's muscles rather than boosting them. The boom of the heavy rifle caused Korax to wince in the moment before another projectile slammed into the gap between left pauldron and neck, tearing into the muscle of his shoulder. For the first time since Istvan, Korax let out a shout of pain, wrenched from him as the sorcerer's fire of the shell burnt into his flesh, seeping its warp taint into blood and tissue. Something heavy pinned down his left arm, and he looked up to see the chainblade warrior with a massive boot on the Primarch's wrist. Normally, he would have been able to cast the traitor aside with little effort, as large as he was, but his armor was not responding. There was triumph in the brute's eyes as he pointed the crackling muzzle of his lightning gun at Korax's face. The others gathered around him, the one with the rifle also sporting a barbed power blade that glittered with sparks of silver energy. The last warrior had no ranged weapon that Korax could see, except for a pivoting set of twin bolters mounted on his shoulder. Both arms ended in spiked hammerheads surrounded by a pulsating dark aura. Silhouetted against the sky, the four massive warriors loomed over Korax, weapons at the ready. It seemed impossible. He had been ready to face his death at the beast Angron's hands in the mountains of Istvan V, but to die like this? It seemed ludicrous. He did not even know the manner of soldiers that had defeated him. It had not been difficult, and Korax felt the failure like a gash in his gut. Another point-blank blast from the lightning gun sent shocks pulsing through his armor systems, keeping the Primarch immobile. One of the soldiers stood aside, allowing Korax to see a group of figures gathering on a rampart atop the bunker ahead. There were four more individuals there, garbed in Legiones Astartes armor, two with the markings of the Emperor's children, another in Sons of Horus livery. The fourth stepped out from the others and stood, looking down over the wall edging the fortification. His warplate was black, and on the shoulder was the unmistakable sigil of a white raven. He wore no helm, pale hair hanging lankly across his features. A warrior of the Raven Guard.
"You made it too easy,"
the warrior called down, and immediately Korax recognized the voice along with the face.
"Nathian."
Corvus was half as tall again as the youths around him, and broader by far. But of all those who had met the guerrilla leader, Nathian showed almost no fear. The prisoner's stare matched Korax's in its intensity.
"That's the boon I bring, ain't it?" said Nathian. "They think I can be trusted. I run the largest smuggling ring on the wing. A few bribes and words here and there will make it a lot easier for you to be moving stuff around, I'd warrant. And I'm no shirker in a fight. I'm dishonest, but I give you my word, for what it's worth. I want out of this stinking hole as much as any of this lot."
"He knows too much already. A curse on him and his prying," said Agapito. "Let's be rid of him. We'll put the body in the incinerator's next shift." Nathian sneered, but did not look afraid.
"No," said Corvus.
He looked at Nathian closely and saw the feral danger behind his eyes. A multiple killer, aged only 13. It was not pleasant, but what Corvus had planned would sometimes need men of cold disposition, not just courage.
"I can use him." "Yes, Nathian, I accept your oath, and make no mistake, I will hold you to it."
"Well met, Lord Korax,"
the former Raven Guard sneered. The wind tousled white hair across his thin face.
"You forgot the first axiom of stealth, brave leader. You came to me exactly where I thought you would be."
Korax tried to sit up. A sparking hammer smashed into his face, knocking him back. The lightning cannon crackled just a few meters away, ready to paralyze his armor with another blast the moment he tried to get free. There were satisfaction and monstrous intent in the eyes of the warrior holding it.
"Of course, getting you here was the easy part, I suppose,"
Nathian continued. His voice was rasping, filled with bitterness. He glanced at the Emperor's children legionary.
"Using some of the superior gene serums from... well, I won't bore you with the details. These are the new men, as Fabius called them. He's an apothecary, you know. Very clever."
He waved a hand towards the hulking warriors.
"I think the name's a little understated, though. The aborted failures in the cells aside, they are far more than men now, aren't they? We all are legiones, superior, maybe. I don't know. I was never the best with words. I left that sort of thing to Agapito. He has the poet's soul. Anyway, they don't really have a name yet, so I'm afraid you'll die in ignorance."
Nathian walked away. Korax noted a slight limp as the traitor Raven Guard disappeared back into the bunker. Around the Primarch, the so-called new men stepped forwards, raising their weapons.
"Time to find out how well the Emperor really made you," said one of them, his bass voice modulated by the augmeter systems of his armor.
He fired a shot through Korax's left forearm. The Primarch gritted his teeth, not permitting himself even a snarl. The traitors would be granted no additional pleasure by his cries of pain.
Perhaps he needed to make you a little tougher,
the warrior sneered.
Korax surged up, leaping towards him. He was a step away from grabbing the traitor around the throat when searing pain crashed through his skull. As agony flared along his neural pathways and down his spine, he realized that a fresh lightning blast had struck him in the head. His nervous system failed him, plunging him face first into the gravel-strewn rockcrete. It took all of his effort to raise himself up, pushing with his left arm, ignoring the ache that throbbed down to his wrist. A plasma blast smashed into his back, flattening the Primarch with its detonation, melting the carefully forged feathers of his wings. Feedback from his armor blared warnings as coolants raced through the systems to stop the heat spreading further. He was almost blind with the shock of the electrical hit and burning pain, barely able to focus on the ground just in front of him. Korax took in a shuddering breath, determined he would die on his feet, not on his face. Another round smashed into his knee, cracking cartilage. He could not stop the cry that escaped from his lips. With a Herculean effort, he managed to flop over onto his back, wings closing beneath him. He wasn't sure what happened next. One moment, the warrior with the lightning cannon was stepping forward, chainblade raised with teeth whirring. An instant later, he became a ball of fire and metal splinters, hurled bodily away by the explosion, an arm spinning off across the ground. The roar of jets dragged Korax's eyes skyward, and he looked up to see five black shapes plunging down from above, jump packs flaring. The new men reacted fast, turning their weapons on the incoming legionaries. A plasma bolt seared wide of its target, but the traitor with the anti-tank gun found his mark, putting a round through the head of an incoming Raven Guard, turning helm and skull to a trailing mess of bone and blood. The lead warrior landed on the hammer-handed soldier, plasma pistol vaporizing the creature's face a second before the Raven Guard crashed feet first into its chest, cracking open armor and sending both spilling to the ground. The other new men rushed to the attack as more shapes with jump packs landed, the headless corpse of the last crashing to the ferrocrete a few meters away. Missiles and battle cannon fire from their wheeling dropship pounded the bunkers, secondary weapons stitching smaller detonations across the armor of the new men, while fire from the encircling emplacements tore past and crashed against the Stormbird's armored fuselage. The shock of the lightning blast was wearing off. Korax could feel sensation returning to his hands and feet. The Raven Guard fell as a pack onto their next target, hacking with power axes and blades, blasting with their pistols to drive the soldier away from their Primarch. Korax saw the plasma gunner turning his weapon on the black armored legionaries, recognizing the glow of a fully charged weapon. With a snarl, he forced himself from the ground and took a running leap, damaged flight pack flaring, slamming awkwardly shoulder first into the giant warrior. The plasma blast rocketed into the sky, and the Primarch followed it, his wings snapping out to carry them both up past the Stormbird, which was turning its weapons to the perimeter defences. The comm crackled in Korax's ear. Lord Korax, this is Bran. The Commandant's compound is a trap.
Thank you for the warning, Commander,
Korax replied through gritted teeth. The new man had a grip on one of Korax's wings, but the Primarch extended both arms, prizing away his enemy's grasp. Inverting quickly, he threw the mutated warrior groundwards and pitched after him. The new man's impact threw up a cloud of dust and grit into which Korax dived without hesitation, slamming fist first into the brute, the blow carving through plate and into bone, splitting the augmented soldier from shoulder to gut.
Shall I send reinforcements, my lord?
Bran sounded desperately worried.
No,
Korax replied. He looked around. Two of the new men were still alive, battling with the Raven Guard. The Primarch ran towards the melee.
Maintain current missions.
The new man with the sorcerer's rifle heard the incoming Primarch and turned, raising his weapon. Now, fully focused, Korak saw the flash of the muzzle and the dark blur of the armor-piercing round coming towards him. Still accelerating, he swayed to his left, letting the projectile pass harmlessly over his right shoulder. The traitor took a step back and hurriedly worked the breech mechanism of the heavy rifle. He chambered another round and lifted the weapon to his shoulder just as Korax reached him. The Primarch's uppercut caught the new man square under the helm, lifting him from his feet as his head snapped back, dark filth erupting as Korax's fist parted metal and bone like air. He shouldered aside the flailing body as momentum carried the Primarch into the last attacker. The final new man had the helm of one of the Raven Guard in an iron grip, ceramite cracking crazily and reinforced plate buckling under the pressure. The legionaries blazed with bolt pistols and hacked with their chainswords, futilely battering at the armored behemoth. Korax turned and landed feet first, snapping through both arms with mighty blows from his gauntlets, leaving the Raven Guard to topple backwards as the new man stumbled away. A bestial half-roar, half-scream bellowed from the mutilated warrior's vocalizers as he waved the stumps of his limbs helplessly, black gore splashing to the ground. Another kick sent him reeling back still further. Korax boosted his next step, leaping up half a dozen meters before crashing down upon the inhuman warrior. Fueled by the realization of how close he had come to dying, Korax let his emotions flow, tearing and shredding, fists a blur as he reduced armor to fragments, skin to strips, and flesh to tatters. When he was done, he stepped back. The new man had been turned into a ruin of congealing black fluid and severed limbs, scattered about with pieces of ceramite and plasteel. Breathing heavily, Korax turned to his warriors, who were now exchanging fire with human soldiers, racing out onto the top of the bunkers. The legionary's leader dragged off his dented helm and took in a ragged breath. It was a Rendai.
Gareth, why are you here?
The Primarch glanced up as the Stormbird's engines changed in pitch, taking the gunship towards the outer defences. It was pocked with return fire, but its cannons were still laying down a curtain of blasts along the emplacements. He returned his attention to Arendai.
You were supposed to be supporting Commander Sukunu.
The former bodyguard commander doubled over, coughing and retching. When he looked up at his Primarch, Korax saw that Arendai's face was covered with the spreading darkness of massive bruises. He grinned, and then winced at the pain this caused.
Sometimes you're an idiot, Corvus, said Arendai, using the name that few had since the coming of the Emperor.
The Primarch bridled at the comment, but did not have time to reply before the legionary continued.
The others told me what you said. Do you really think I need a bodyguard? That was it, correct?
Korax recalled saying those words on Istvan V after the Thunderhawk carrying them all had been downed.
Something like that,
the Primarch answered, feeling suddenly foolish for such bravado.
How did you know about all of this? Did you know about Nathian?
Not as such, no, said Arendai. The Space Marine tossed away his deformed helmet.
There were rumors. Some of the Legion sided with the traitors after the massacre at the Urgal Depression. There was some connection to this place, but nothing solid. We were preparing to link up with Sukunu when we caught a flash of open band traffic. Something about a target approaching the Commandant's compound. I just figured that, as usual, you would get yourself into more trouble than you were worth. Bran filled us in. Sorry we did not get here sooner.
The Primarch looked away, taking in his surroundings. They were still out in the open and vulnerable to attack. The Raven Guard had dispatched the first wave of soldiers from the roofs, but more would be on their way.
Probably best that we move inside,
he told the others, stepping towards the nearest bunker door.
Follow me. Clear the complex.
And if we find that ill-spawned bastard, Nathian? Asked one of the legionaries.
Mine,
Korax snapped in reply. He flexed his fingers in anticipation of them closing on the turncoat Raven Guard.
Another traitor that needs to be taught the folly of not finishing the task at hand.